Welcome to Cold Reads, episode 25. Cold Reads is a weekly podcast read by Nathaniel Tower. Each week, Nathaniel invites an author to send his or her wildest, funniest, most twisted story. Without reading the story ahead of time, Nathaniel records an audio version, trying to maintain his composure as the author takes the audience on a wild ride. Week 25 brings you Donkeys Live a Long Time, None of You Has Ever Seen Ethel Merman, by David S. Atkinson. David S. Atkinson is the author of Bones Buried in the Dirt, River Otter Press 2013, which has not been directly linked by FDA studies to enhanced attractiveness, but no one yet has proven the contrary. His writing appears in Bartleby Snopes, Gray Sparrow Journal, Interrobang Magazine, Atticus Review, and others, as well as numerous highly respected journals that exist only in his deluded imagination. His writing website is davidatkinsonwriting.com. davidsatkinsonwriting.com, and he daily tries to puzzle out why scientists can design dog food that makes its own gravy, but have yet to create a sandwich that makes its own potato salad. Donkeys Live a Long Time, None of You Has Ever Seen Ethel Merman, by David S. Atkinson. Shocking upheaval rocked the nation's political landscape today as representatives from both major parties met to resolve the partisan gridlock in federal politics. In a surprising turn of events, the leaders agreed that politicking had become such a theatrical game that they might just as well perform actual theater instead. Even more astoundingly, this is exactly the solution that the parties will be implementing at the federal level. State-level participation is unknown. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, upon emerging from the contentious summit, remarked, "We have all been players in an overly elaborate show. Politicians perform in exact accordance with a prepared script, and then citizens regurgitate at home what they have heard. If that is how we are really prepared to govern our country, should we not at least make the situation entertaining? Americans certainly deserve at least that much." Speaker of the House John Boehner, Republican, Ohio, concurred with the House Minority Leader, adding, "Shoot, we ain't ending the partisan part of the partisan rancor. We like that part, but there's no call for the rancor portion. We'll still do things just like always. Everyone will just feel a bit better about it, though." Pelosi and Boehner then, to commemorate the landmark agreement, immediately delivered the emotionally wrenching final scene between Elphaba, played by Pelosi, and Glinda, played by Boehner, from Wicked. The two party heads then launched into an a cappella version of For Good. Reaction to the dramatic changes among pundits has been mixed. Many simply respond that they are primarily stunned, and that the nation will have to wait and see what it all means. Opinions were largely unanimous, however, that Pelosi has a much more melodious singing voice than Boehner. Commentators also suggested that Pelosi possesses a greater vocal range. America was treated to the first taste of the new congressional theater as the Democrat-sponsored National Endowment for the Arts, NEA, funding appropriation bill was debated on the House floor. As determined by party representatives beforehand, the discussion took the form of Lavie Baim from Rent. Speaker of the House John Boehner, Republican, Ohio, kicked off the proceedings by delivering Benny's mostly talking speech that prompts the song. Commentators on the floor later remarked that Boehner was particularly passionate when delivering his final lines, "This is Calcutta, Bohemia's dead." However, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, was reportedly no less passionate in her rendition of the role of Mark in the number. She even took it upon herself, rather than the junior Democratic representative assigned to play Maureen, to moon Boehner at the appropriate moment in the song. Pundits have largely been divided on Pelosi's impromptu revision of character roles. Many indicate that the change still reflects the underlying essential spirit of the piece, though others express concern over Pelosi's alleged thespian activism and apparent attack on the sanctity of the original script. Regardless, the event proved to mostly be a legislative success. Upon completion of the performance, the lawmakers retired from immediate public eye and voted pretty much as their respective parties would lead one to expect. From a purely functional standpoint, it appears that Congress will have little problem operating under the new theatrical model with no significant alterations. Washington. Rumors wildly orbited the Beltway today as the new theater-based congressional arrangement, designed specifically to end gridlock itself, became the center of partisan contention. What should have been a routine session to decide the thespian format for debate on the new Republican-sponsored job stimulus bill ended in total party deadlock. It is uncertain at this time how scheduled debate tomorrow will proceed. According to Capitol Hill sources, Democrats advocated musical theater. Republicans, however, reportedly refused this suggestion and insisted on selection of a dramatic theater piece. Neither party budged from their position, and the issue remained unsolved. Speaker of the House John Boehner, Republican Ohio, defended the Republican dramatic theater position, stating, "All that highfalutin song and dance stuff doesn't represent the average American. He doesn't need frills or cheap tricks. What he wants is plain, nuanced delivery of simple and believable emotion. All that singing is just Democrat elitism." House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California, disagreed. "I believe that most Americans possess a more sophisticated theatrical palate than that for which Republicans give them credit. The public expects and deserves a good show above all else. Off the record, I just think that Boehner realized he can't sing for beans." Statements by pundits on the matter, for the most part, reflected those uttered by party leaders. Glenn Beck took a portion of his program to demonstrate the alleged superiority of the dramatic form by enacting the entirety of Jeffrey Bernard as Unwell, omitting the few lines spoken by secondary characters. Stephen Colbert, who is either a Democratic pundit pretending to be a Republican pundit, or a comedian pretending to be a Democratic pundit pretending to be a Republican pundit, countered by singing a 30-minute improvised song primarily consisting of the repeated lyrics, "I like green potatoes." Given the uncertain situation regarding tomorrow's debate, any prediction would be pure speculation. America will have to just wait for tomorrow. Washington. Chaos erupted on the floor of the House this morning during debate concerning the Republican-sponsored job stimulus bill. As previously reported, the parties had been unable to agree whether discussion would be staged as dramatic or musical piece. Apparently, both parties decided to simply implement their respective position and ignore the opposing side. Speaker of the House John Boehner, Republican Ohio, dressed in a faded gray leisure suit and tattered fedora, attempting to deliver Willie Loman's "Business Has Changed" monologue from Death of a Salesman, while House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California, accompanied by several other Democratic representatives, danced around him, twirling their various colored and ruffled dresses, singing "America" from West Side Story, using fairly decent Puerto Rican accents. In short, the performance was a garbled, incomprehensible mess. Boehner's soulful expression, including actual crying, was lost in the jubilant song. At the same time, Pelosi's melodious lead sounded choppy against the background of Boehner's talking. The resulting cacophony ensured that neither performance could be enjoyed. Random polling shows that Americans remain as divided as the parties on the musical dramatic issue. Further, many citizens have already begun to lose faith in the efficiency of theater as a method of conducting government, offering opinions indicating that partisan differences may simply make the still new system unworkable. However, despite the division and uncertainty, many admit that the country still appears to be functioning pretty much as it always has. For whatever reason, the fiasco in Washington appears to have had little harmful effect on actual day-to-day operation of the nation. Commentators remain wary, but optimistic. That was Donkeys Live a Long Time by David S. Atkinson. This concludes episode 25 of Cold Reads. I'll be back next week with another terrific story.